What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And we're talking about yet another treaty made by the United States, which is basically being abused. And this one is called the Open Skies, the Treaty on Open Skies, adopted in 2002. This was back when Bush was in office, and basically was a treaty among 34 different countries, and it established a program of unarmed aerial surveillance flights over each other's countries to keep an eye on military buildup. Trust but verify. Now, prior to the availability of high-altitude reconnaissance aircraft like the SR-71, such surveillance was done entirely by satellites. And back then, the satellites used film, which they would take pictures and the film canister would return to Earth, which actually triggered a lot of so-called UFO sightings. But it was very costly, very expensive. It wasn't very real-time, but it was basically done by both sides, by all parties involved, to verify that each country was complying with the various treaties limiting the numbers of nuclear weapons and nuclear missile submarines. And there were certain procedures when you were working on your missiles that you would have all the hatches and everything open and everything would be visible to the sky because you knew you were being watched. There was that. Well, in the advent of robotic aircraft, surveillance aircraft, they moved to that, which is more real time. And so in 2002, they had this treaty on open skies between 34 states in which each state was allowed to have unarmed surveillance flights flying over each other's country to make sure they were in compliance with various treaties. Unfortunately, Russia has notified the U.S. that because the U.S. Has basically been creating obstacles to the Russian open skies missions, that Russia is going to have to reciprocate and start blocking the U.S. flights over Russian territory. And so once again, Russia understands you can't believe or trust anything the U.S. government says. All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call. Martin in San Francisco, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Listen, I'm actually in the East Bay. And I've been following you since 2003 or something like that when I started reading your website. Shortly after that, I think you were on GCN on Saturdays. So a long time.
Yeah. 2007 is when I started doing radio, but it feels like a long time ago now.
Really? Okay. Well, in any case, I used to listen to you on Saturdays, right? You had a show on GCN, did you, on Saturdays originally?
I think I did. I remember there was a Saturday show. Pardon me, a Saturday show. At one point, I was doing two different shows for two different networks, but that was just, I couldn't sustain that load.
Yeah. Anyhow, I agree with you, you know, so much. You've really informed me on 9/11 and a bunch of other subjects, even though, you know, I was into Gary Allen and Nundorf call it conspiracy back in the late 70s. So I go back and looking at this world conspiracy of, you know, globalism, it goes back a long time. But anyhow, the reason I called is because I do listen to you during the week a lot at work, and I don't have a chance to call in. I just listen to you on headphones while I'm at my computer, et cetera. And there's a couple of things that are being kind of bugging me. One is your gloom and doom on the economy, and one is your gloom and doom on world war. And I would like to think that it's more of a gloom situation on both of those. In other words, we're due for a major correction on the economy in terms of the stock market being way overvalued. But there's still a lot of domestic production here that sustains the dollar, not just the worldwide, you know, oil trade and the like. We also have oil that's produced here, a lot of agriculture, be it GMO or what have you, and a lot of small businesses, including the one I work for, does $150 million a year. in production in the United States. There's a lot of businesses like the one I work for. And,
well,
you know, let me get your opinion on that.
Well, my opinion, first of all, is that the rest of the world does not want to buy our GMO exports. They're banned in countries like China and Russia, and other countries as well are saying they have to be labeled, and people are steering clear of that. Yes, there are businesses still running here in the United States. And the question, though, is that if you take the current, shall we say, cash position of the United States economy, it's in bad situation. The U.S. owes something like $8 trillion more to foreign creditors than we have assets in this country. And that is an unsustainable debt. Now, if you look at the money that's coming in from what products we do export, what agricultural produce we do export, various services that we provide to the rest of the world, and if you subtract out the income that is generated by other countries using the U.S. Federal Reserve note, the situation goes from just barely being able to get by to being unsupportable. And that's why I and a lot of other economic experts are very pessimistic about the future of the economy. The debt is completely out of control. The wealth inequality is out of control. We know that we've got something like 100 million legal American citizens who've been unable to find jobs for months, if not years. And again, go back and look at that video of Skid Row 2017 in Los Angeles. And that is a real Buddha on the road moment. So you can't look at any of this and say that this economy is functioning anywhere close to what would be considered normal and healthy. It is an economy that is basically in decline. Those with money are trying to hang on to their money and grab what's left out of everybody else's pockets. We've gone from a nation in which we have the majority of people producing articles for sale and to a nation where pretty much everybody is peeking under each other's couch cushions looking for spare change. And that's not a functioning economy.
I agree that we are due for a correction and that there is not nearly the rosy situation that the government likes to portray. But I think that there's a lot of production in this country that will sustain us through a major correction from going into a total collapse, which is what I mean about gloom, but no doom. In any case,
oh, okay. I see what you're coming about. Well, we saw the same thing during the 1930s, where as large factories would close, they were replaced by small entrepreneurial operations. The big issue, though, is that if all the tangible assets, like the land, are in the hands of the bankers, then the American people, no matter how productive they are not going to be able to basically buy a better life for themselves, no matter how hard they work at it. Now, coming out of World War II, the reason it was a golden age for the American people was that the United States was the only country whose industrial base had not been bombed into rubble. And therefore, any company in the United States that made machine tools, ball bearings, anything like that, they were selling to the rest of the world as the rest of the world rebuilt their factories. And that was one of the reasons for the post-war the baby boom times, along with, of course, the Bretton Woods Agreement, which had the United States Federal Reserve serving as the issuing authority for the monetary instruments used by other countries across border. And there was a big profit being made with that as well. But they ran that one as long as they could until Nixon's shock. But our economy has been more illusion than functionality ever since then. We know the stock market is being manipulated. The various indicators are being fudged, like the unemployment numbers. And if you're doing that much fakery to make the economy look good, that right there tells you that the true state of our economy is pretty much deplorable. Now, right now, the big retailers are out there singing the songs about all the billions and billions of dollars in business they did for the holiday shopping season, which sounds really good until you remember that the vast majority of that was all done on credit. And that, to me, is actually a bad sign rather than a good sign.
Yeah, fair enough. We are definitely due for a correction. I would agree there.
Yes.
But I do believe that it won't be a complete collapse. We have more going for us than the Soviet Union did when they collapsed.
I'm afraid I don't see it that way. I see the United States government as having made pretty much all the same mistakes, way too much spending on the military to the expense of other areas of economic development. But what brought down the Soviet Union was less the economic realities of the country than the fact that the Soviet citizens simply lost all trust and confidence in that central government. And they just stopped listening. They stopped obeying. And at that point, the government couldn't function. And I think we're coming up on something similar here in the United States.
That would be a good thing, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
The other point, just real quickly, on the gloom scenario that you portray about a world war with atomic bombs being used, I find that a little bit of a stretch. What we've seen since World War II, since the dropping of the atomic bomb, has been a new paradigm of world wars where they're all regional and controlled and not aimed at other nuclear powers. And I believe that's probably the way we will continue. I don't like that, but I don't think that that the power elite, that even that 1% of the 1%, want a real nuclear war. And the reason is that their lifestyles and their overall well-being is dependent on way more worker bees, way more agriculture, foreign ski resorts, all these things that would be affected in their lavish lifestyle if they have to go into some sort of underground bunker situation. You follow my drift?
Well, there? I understand that, but on the other hand, you've got people who would be willing to go into that underground bunker situation for 6 months or so, knowing that when they came on out, there'd be a lot more room on the planet. The danger here are people who think nuclear war is going to be survivable. Now, if you look at the nuclear weapons that are ready to go right now today, they make the bombs the United States dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki look like New Year's poppers in comparison. Those bombs that went off over Japan were very, very small weapons compared to what is out there today. And again, we're not talking about necessarily bombing the entire surface of planet Earth, but bombing enough of it to cause global commerce to collapse, triggering a new dark ages. There's the issue of nuclear winter coming on top of what appears to be a new modern minimum. Would it exterminate all human life? No. Would it take civilization back down to a much more primitive level? Absolutely. And we could find ourselves literally blowing ourselves into a new dark ages.
So do you really think that the elite, the people that really have more control over this planet than you or, than the common government people do, you think that they really aren't aware of all that? I think they're not.
I'm sure that the rational people among them are aware of that, but then you get these fanatics who are just caught up with this apocalyptic vision of the United States ridding the world of Russia and China all at once. Just because somebody is in a position of extreme wealth and power doesn't necessarily mean that they're sane and rational. In fact, if a recent experience is going to teach us anything, it's that people who have that kind of money and power think that the normal rules don't apply to them. And they're willing to take these chances. Look how close we came to a nuclear exchange with the Soviet Union during the Cuban Missile Crisis. All it takes is one hothead to turn that first key, and then everybody piles on board.
Oh, yeah, that kind of thing could happen. I'm talking about a calculated move done by the very elite of the world, the elite globalists of the world, to actually start a nuclear war between the Soviet Union or China and the United States.
Well, let me give you another scenario, and I'm borrowing from Tom Clancy's Sum of All Fears for this one. What if there was a third nation out there in the world who saw their own position in the world greatly improved by tricking the United States and Russia into a mutually destructive nuclear exchange?
You think that if Israel did such a thing, I presume you're talking about Israel, did such a thing that they wouldn't be affected by the fallout and the worldwide collapse of everything that they import, as well as all the products that you know, that they need, just to, you know, that they can't make there in Israel, for instance.
Well, the question is, how much hardship are they willing to endure for a long-term outcome where Israel is a superpower? And yes, we'll use Israel, but it could be another country entirely. The thing is, it is entirely possible. We know that wars get started with false flags all the time, and we know that our leaders are willing to sacrifice segments of the population to that war in the expectation that the long-term outcome will be more positive. We know that Roosevelt willingly sacrificed all those people at Pearl Harbor to get us into World War II. We know that Woodrow Wilson sacrificed all the passengers on the Lusitania, or was willing to sacrifice all the passengers on the Lusitania to get us into World War I. This is how people at that level think. And they'll be thinking in terms of, if we do this, if we have a nuclear war with Russia, we're going to lose maybe 20% of our population. And hopefully it'll be the 20% of the population that isn't productive, the useless eaters and so forth. But that's really the way they're thinking. They don't care about individual lives of their people. It's like Stalin used to say, a single death is a tragedy, a million deaths is a statistic.
Wow. I hadn't heard that one. Well, you know, I think that the paradigm has changed since the advent of the nuclear bomb. So I think that, you know, they'll reconsider starting a world war when it means that all their creature comforts and their, you know, ability to control the multitudes into making them trillionaires is taken away in the same, wars that are started, you know, that way. So I think since World War II, we are living in a new paradigm, and it is going to be these regional wars, as much as I hate those as well, you know.
Well, go back and look at the history of World War II, because prior to Pearl Harbor, that was viewed as a bunch of regional wars all over Europe and Asia. Same thing with World War I, which actually started between Austria-Hungary and Serbia, and somehow mutated into everybody whooping on Germany. And at some point, there's an event where everybody says, okay, the whole world is pretty much at war now. We haven't had that event for this war, but in terms of the regional conflicts, we have as many, if not more, of these already taking place around the world than were going on December 6th, 1941.
Which is fine with the regional elite as long as it doesn't go nuclear. I think that they would object to anybody, you know, making a decision.
Well, let me give you another scenario here. What if you have these elites that you seem to think are totally in control of affairs, and they are not? Push for a conventional war, convinced that they're going to win it, and then all of a sudden they're in this conventional war, and it's turning against them. And they're looking at the choice of surrendering and losing all their creature comforts and wealth, or rolling the dice on a nuclear attack. What do you think they're going to do?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
You know, I think they wouldn't like to get into that situation. They would like to control it. But as you said,
all it takes,
you
know, is one.
There is no making up for some crazy person that is going to pull the trigger on something like that. So the accident, the possibility of an accident rather than a controlled nuclear war is always there. So I agree with you there, and it is a very real possibility.
No. Okay.
Anyhow.
Well, thank you. We have to let you go. We're coming up on a commercial break, and we got other callers waiting on the line. We're going to do a quick little shout out to our honor affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. And when we come on back from the commercial break, we've got more callers waiting on the line about all kinds of different topics. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
The money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up anyone. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The towers in New York City.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go back to the telephones now with Steve Elkins, who's a fellow RBN host here. And Steve, thank you for spending time with us today. What's on your mind?
Well, you've got some excellent calls today. You got a sharp audience out there, Michael. As far as the nuclear bomb thing here, I agree with you. I think the elitists do believe that that a nuclear war is survivable. But, you mentioned about the differences in the bomb itself, the nuclear bombs that we have today versus back in World War II, and I agree with you. We're talking apples and oranges here. These bombs that we have nowadays, very significant death and destruction. And neighboring countries on the target list would be suffering also. So I would hope that other nations who would be in that circumference of a hit zone from an enemy, supposedly, would put enough pressure to stop this insanity. But that's not what I'm calling about. I'm actually calling back that email I'd sent you on Trump to roll back Deepwater Horizon regulations. And I just wanted maybe your interpretation of this, because they talk about streaming the real-time information, the data of oil production, to onshore facilities. So basically we know what's actually out there in the ocean being shipped in and can be pumped in. But I also see this as possible because we're getting fudged numbers everywhere we go. Unemployment, everything is fudged numbers. See, this is a way maybe that the oil industry could also basically tell you there's a scarcity of the oil commodities and actually just hike your prices up. What do you think about that? Maybe more of a monopoly type situation where they can tell you, yeah, we have very little oil here, but they actually have large reserves and they know the reserves are they're there, but they simply jack their prices up to for profit.
Well, certainly, if the ability for third parties to monitor the actual volume of oil being harvested is taken away, then we're at the mercy of whatever those oil companies decide they're going to tell us. And you're absolutely right. They could say, oh, the wells aren't producing. We don't have enough of a supply and just jack the prices up very, very high. I'm just opposed to this idea of pulling back all oversight. Most of those regulations were put in the aftermath of the Deepwater Horizon disaster. And the issues they were dealing with there wasn't so much the remote monitoring of oil volume, but the idea that, like, the manual blowout preventer on the Deepwater Horizon was 4 years overdue for mandatory maintenance. And in virtually every other nation that is an oil-producing nation, they mandate automated acoustic blowout preventers that listen for the blowout and shut off the pipe automatically. And the United States does not require them. It's an expensive piece of hardware, about $500,000 per well. And I thought we should have had mandated acoustic blowout preventers back when Deepwater Horizon happened. That didn't occur, and now they're pulling back on the other safety regulations that were put in. In other words, we're going down that same path of reduced regulation and oversight that led to the Deepwater Horizon disaster itself, where you had the Minerals Management Service behaving more like they worked for the Deepwater Horizon owners and British Petroleum rather than keeping an eye out for safety problems that threatened the local environment and population.
You know, that kind of went off the radar for a while there. How long did it take to finally cap off that well with that gusher they had? How long did that take?
That took months, and they never really succeeded in capping it all off because as a result of pressure, the ground around the weld head fissured, and there's actually still small amounts of oil and gas leaking out through those cracks.
Well, that's it, Michael. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much for the phone call, and we're going to go ahead and start with Tom in Indiana. Aloha, Tom. Welcome to the
Aloha,
show. What's
Mike.
On your mind?
Aloha. I watched that Skid Row Christmas 2017, watched the whole thing, saw what the guy had to say, and I went and got on Google Map, and I went up and down those streets around that area. I found the exact center where he started that video. And I went five blocks in any direction, and after five blocks, there wasn't any tents. Now, I lived out in Los Angeles for a while. I know Los Angeles is a very big city, and also in the city that I live in, I know that there's people that scam the system. He showed some of the people that scam the system, but the crux of his matter was there was a lot of money being filtered into this area to these do-good associations and stuff, and it wasn't properly used. He said that the people that ran those organizations lived in castles, but yet there wasn't anything for the people to do on the street. But another thing I noticed about the video, if you go look at the video, how very well kept those tents were. There wasn't anybody living, and he interviewed some of the people there and said, oh, yeah, we have a job. We're just living down here. It costs a lot to live. You know, but we're waiting to get on the dole so we can get us a $50 a month apartment and let all the taxpayers pay for it. You know, so, you know, there's a lot of different ways of looking at it. They have a big problem in California. All our big cities have big problems, and we do have those people. And if you've ever lived in a big city, I mean, people that rent out houses and stuff like that, we know that people scam the system. They do it all the time. And I just wanted to...
Some do. Some do. Not all of them do. Anyway, Tom, got to let you go. Got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Okay, I'm here. I'm sorry. I was a little delayed. Okay, we're back on the air. Boy, that break went really, really fast. Okay, let's see. We've got another. Well, first of all, I want to respond to what Tom in Indiana said. Yeah, there are a lot of people who will scam the available social services, but I don't think that was their first choice. If we had an economy where there were plenty of jobs, good paying jobs for the American people, and housing was affordable, food was affordable, I don't think living on the street and scamming anybody would be their first choice. And I think what some people may call scamming, others might call acts of desperation just to survive. All right, let's take ourselves another phone call. Dan in Washington, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks. I had a point about the story in Washington State about the human trafficking yesterday, or 2 points about that. First, I want to agree with you, though, on the scam and the social services. I think there's homeless people all over, and we don't do enough to help those who really need it and just waste billions of dollars around the world, even though some people do scam. And, you know, we don't want generational welfare, but we could definitely do more, in my opinion, to help.
Yeah, but let's look at the other side of it. Everybody's trying to talk about, are the homeless people scamming the system? Some of them are. But look at the world's wealthy and how badly they scam the system. That's how they got wealthy in many cases.
Yeah, they scam it by the trillions. Homeless people, from what I see, they don't get much help at all. I mean, they got tents all over the place on underpasses now in the Seattle area and all over California. And you know, it's pretty tragic. I don't see anyone trying to help these people at all, and the mentally ill people living out there. And
not everybody who's homeless is mentally ill or a drug addict or any of the other things. Like I said, Claire and I, when we were involved with this food distribution program at a local church, we got to see these people close up. We got to meet them and know who they are. And in a lot of cases, we were dealing with young people with brand new families that just had a streak of bad luck. And they came out here to Hawaii, they were promised jobs, and then the company that was going to hire them changed their mind or went out of business. You know, Hawaii's dealing with its own economic hardships right now. People can get trapped on this island because it is so far away from everywhere else. And it's not uncommon to see what we call bailout piles when we drive down the street, where there'll be the entire contents of a house just out on the curb for the heavy pickup, because the people living there decided they had to get off this island, and all they had money for was the airfare, and they had to leave absolutely everything else behind. You can tell that that's what these piles represent. It's not a room renovation. It's not somebody got a new living room. These piles have debris from every single room in the house, cookware, coat hangers, everything. You just know the house has been emptied because these people felt they just couldn't stay here any longer.
Yeah, I drive trucks. I've seen that all over California, and there's people living in trailers, like at the Walmart parking lot, families. And,
yes.
We're in a renting bubble, too. So, say, the Seattle area, even 8 years ago, an apartment was, say, $700 a month. Now that's $1,400 a month. There's like,
yes,
nowhere for people to go, you know, and what are you going to do, you know? It's a horrible situation because they pumped up the housing bubble again and inflated the prices again to help out the banks and the people that already, you know.
Yeah, they're having to inflate the price of the housing, the houses and rental units to keep their mortgages above water. And that, you're right, that's done to protect the banks. And the end result is that you have the American people, the American working people, can't afford a place to live anymore. We have these stories of people up in Silicon Valley who've got very good jobs with companies like Google, and they're still having to live out of their cars.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I guess my point, my point about the human trafficking, it seems like they're classifying normal prostitution as human trafficking, and that I just wanted to make the point, if they wanted to see human trafficking, they should go to, say, Eastern Washington and to an apple farm and see the busloads of illegals and undocumented migrants all over the place. If they put a little effort into that kind of human trafficking instead of trying to track down some guy that messaged Craigslist or whatever, it'd probably be a little more productive, I would think, as well.
Well, they'd both be productive, but we need to remember that we're not dealing with young men and young women who just decided that since they can't get a job at Facebook, they're going to become a sex worker. We're talking about organized gangs who have persuaded young people to come to the U.S. from other countries with promises of jobs as models or something like that, and they wound up being exploited sexually. That's what's meant by a sex trafficking ring. The young men and young women working in these sex trafficking rings did not start out intending to be sex workers, and that's why it's a much more heinous crime. As far as regular prostitution is concerned, like drugs, I really think it ought to be legalized, taxed, and regulated. And it's up to that person. If that's what they want to do with their bodies for their money, fine. But coercing somebody, trapping somebody to be a sex worker to make money off of them, that's on the same level as kidnapping, and it's a far more serious crime.
Yeah, I would agree with that part. Okay, yeah, it's horrible with the economy. It's just, yeah, I heard a statistic where the average millennial, people always give young people a hard time, like you're lazy and young people don't want to work. But I heard that the average wage of the millennial, if you count for inflation, has gone down like 30% in the past, you know, since the 1980s even, since...
Yes. So when you have to figure in the inflation before you start attempting to compare the standard of living of today's young people versus, for example, my generation. Once you figure that in, you realize that, no, the standard of living for the vast majority of Americans is in decline. It's been in decline for 30 years. But the elites are doing very well. The top one-tenth of 1% gained $1 trillion in aggregate wealth this last year alone. And that is definitely a system that's out of balance.
Yeah, that banker bailout and the housing bailout with Obama and Bush and that whole thing just completely, it messed everything up for probably forever, I think. I think they just cut the standard of living in half just by doing that, it seems like, you know.
Well, the reason for the bailouts was very, very simple. Back when George Herbert Walker Bush was president, foreign investors were starting to get nervous about the U.S. economy. And so the U.S. government wanted to send out a message that the United States was still a safe place for investment, because if you invested your money in the U.S. and you made money, you got to keep it. But if you invested in the United States and you lost money, the taxpayers would cover the losses. So it was an all upside, no downside deal to keep foreign investment coming into this country. And the first actual demonstration of that was the savings and loan bailout. We were all told that we were going to have to bail out these SNL customers who were widows and orphan children and trust funds and the rest of it. But the vast majority of the accounts that were made good on the backs of the American taxpayer were these numbered brokered corporate accounts for financial investment in this country. And that, of course, is absolute fascism, when those who make money get to keep their money and those who lose money dump the losses on ordinary people. And we've seen it repeated several times since then with TARP, quantitative easing, 1, 2, 3, infinity. And that's the message they're sending out. The fact that it hurts the ordinary American worker is irrelevant to the idea of needing to maintain this illusion that the United States is a safe haven for foreign investment.
And for ordinary people, it just means your dollar's worth less, and then your social services get less, pretty much, right? And I mean,
yeah, and those social services are being soaked up by the refugees and the illegal immigrants.
Yeah, and one more point I'd like to make on that with Obama, that when the housing market crashed, he also let corporations start to buy houses and foreigners buy houses, and I was looking for a house at the time, and the housing prices just shot way up, way too fast. So, they were at their bottom when I bought my house, fortunately. But they just shot way back up, and now they're at insane bubble prices again, and now we're in even a rental bubble. So it didn't help the average person. I could see helping the housing market in some other way a little bit, but in the long run...
Well, the goal was to avoid the meltdown of 2008 by keeping all of the mortgages above water. And if you're not sure what I mean by that, a mortgage is considered above water if the equity value of the property exceeds the amount owed on the mortgage. If the situation reverses, if you owe more money on the mortgage than the property is worth, the mortgage is considered underwater. And when mortgages go underwater, people will voluntarily go into default. They'll walk away from it. And that was a big part of what happened back in 2008. So the reason for the rental and housing bubble is to protect the banks and the mortgage companies, yes, at the expense of the ordinary working American.
Yep, exactly. All right, thank you. Yeah, it's just that bubble, because the bubble was so high to begin with, so to bring it back up to that price, they're trying to protect that mortgage. Well, that just made it unaffordable for another generation of young people that wanted to buy houses. Now they can't.
They can't, unfortunately. Right. The millennial generation will not have the same lifestyle that their parents did. by and large.
Yep. And thanks for taking the call, Mike.
You got it, and we're going to switch over to Kathy in Missouri. Aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Can you hear me?
I hear you just fine.
Okay, great, because I'm not in a good spot. But I know people working right now full-time for wealthy business owners, and they are still on food stamps as managers, working like very, very hard as a manager. Happy, perky people, and they'd be grateful if they could get into any government, you know, housing, but they're all full. Once you get into that government housing, you want to talk about ruthless, predatory competition. You know what I mean? The landlord can do anything they want to you once you're in there. You hear me? It's like a tragedy. So, I don't know. It's like, I know some of the people may wait up to save, but, I mean, if you're working full-time in America right now as a manager, I mean, you can't afford to even get your gas to go to work or get a car, all right? And I know people, full-time workers right now as managers, not the underling staff, who are still on partial food stamps, and they can't afford to get to work. They have to have help. So, yeah, if anybody's, I don't think these people are scamming the system like some people think, because the computer linkage today doesn't allow the scamming to go on. You understand me? If they're willing to live out on the street like that, to wait to get into one of these, you know, most of these HUD places are godforsaken anyway. You don't want to live there. You hear me?
Yes.
I mean,
we have that here.
People have suffered so much. I don't even want to know what they've been through, why they're able to be so resilient to keep working and wait for some HUD to open, because most of these HUD places are not where you want to be. Most of them have
purchased. Yeah, well, we have some of those here. In fact, we have some just down the hill and over that way, and we drive past them all the time. And it's pretty abysmal. I think people, if they're willing to open their eyes and be objective, as they drive around their town, they're going to realize how decayed our entire society has become, both government-supported housing, just older rental units and houses that haven't been maintained and kept up. You can see the deteriorated condition of our country, and that right there tells you we're an empire in decline. And unfortunately, our government may strike out in rage at the rest of the world in its death throes and cause a lot more damage on its way down.
I remember when
the Soviet Union collapsed. That was a big concern when the Soviet Union was collapsing. Was, you know, would some Soviet leader who had a nervous breakdown as the government fell around them start turning the keys? And that was a very real concern back then, and it should be a real concern here as well.
Did you ever read that article? It was September 28th, I believe, The Guardian, Adjunct Professors Homeless. An excellent article, and they're working full-time, living in trailers with no heat. And one of my old pastor's wives in Dallas emailed me, and she said, well, you were wiser because you didn't go into the debt for graduate school, because I knew I couldn't pay the debt back, right? But I also got
denied
health care, but in a way it's kind of a blessing in disguise, because I've met MSWs from UW-Seattle, and they were not able to move out of their crappy studio because then they had the debt load, even though they were, you know, MSW, best one in the nation, top rated. But you know what I'm saying? It's a catch-22. So, but these are academics working full-time, PhDs from Columbia even, and they're still living in, like, trailers with no heat. And so it's just tragic. And there's a gentrification going on in this underbelly of housing, and trust me, I think they'd rather have crackheads and meth whores, do you understand me, than high-functioning people who don't want to live with roaches swarming the walls. Because you know what, a PhD from might make a phone call, Mike. You know, we might want some action over here to, you know, I don't have that situation right now, but I've certainly been in a very, very, I've been in dire housing situations with absolute, you have to lose your voice. And if you're a crackhead or a meth whore, or you just, you know, drugged out all the time, I think you can probably lose your voice a little easier than someone like myself. So, yeah, trust me, they don't want anyone high-functioning in any of the HUD housing. You know what I'm saying? They want the lower element so they can get away with whatever they want. It's very sad.
Yeah, that's definitely true. They don't want somebody who's going to come on in and start agitating for improved conditions. And I've heard all kinds of horror stories about HUD housing where you're subject to random drug searches and other such testing because of the drug problem. But it's almost like the Bill of Rights no longer applies inside the HUD housing. And now, of course, that's spreading on out to the rest of the country with that declaration of a 100-mile constitution-free zone around our international borders. Well, for here in Hawaii, that's the entire state where they're out there saying now the Bill of Rights no longer applies. it's actually up to the people where the Bill of Rights applies.
Well, I just keep telling people, you know, just well, be good, and you know, do the right thing, because honestly, we're in really dire situation. This is really not funny what's going on. When I'm meeting full-time workers that are half my age, that have a great attitude, no health conditions, they have no access to health care, they have nothing, they can't even afford to get to work, but they still have a great attitude. These are not whiners, okay? And they're still on partial food stamps. You think, imagine how I feel being the type 1 diabetic, right? I'm, you know what I mean? At 55, I'm like, oh my God, I am totally screwed.
Anyway, yeah, people, when they get to be our age, you know, it can be very scary out there. If all of a sudden we had to find something else to do for work, who's going to hire somebody in our age? It's a very scary situation. Kathy, we got to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And Iran's parliament got together and basically voted through a bill declaring that Jerusalem is the capital of Palestine. And they're saying basically this is permanent. Iran will never change its mind on that. So we're still seeing the backlash from this stunt Donald Trump pulled. And at this point, it's clear that Donald Trump has made all of his Israeli friends happy, Sheldon Adelson, Bibi Netanyahu. But in terms of our foreign policy in the Middle East, it's been thrown into disarray. And that was not a carefully considered decision on the part of Donald Trump. And if it's one thing we demand of a president, it's that they think things through and they look at best case, worst case, middle case before they just go along with what the cheerleaders around them are saying to do. Because this has definitely had, I think overall, this was a major foreign policy mess up. Netanyahu is out there talking tough, saying that the region, the Middle East, needs to be mindful of Israel's superior, tremendous firepower. So he's out there issuing threats to these other countries and to Hamas. So it sounds like Netanyahu is getting ready to uncork some major battles because he's dealing with this corruption scandal. And apparently the Knesset did not pass that law making the prime minister immune from prosecution for corruption. And we're getting all these little hints being dropped by the Israeli authorities saying that there are some new revelations to come as to just how bad Netanyahu's corruption has been all this time. So Netanyahu may be looking at not being in office much longer. And he may think that a nice war with Iran might distract everybody away from that. Can't change leaders in the middle of a war. Just accept the corruption as part of the price of defeating Iran or Hamas or whoever. And the fact that the United States government would gladly leap in on Israel's side in a war against Iran, well, that's just a little side benefit as well. Now, we're seeing this rhetoric cranking up again about North Korea. Newsweek came on out with a particular piece of Beck's, how North Korea would wage war against the U.S. And Newsweek is out there saying that obviously North Korea will not attack the U.S. directly out of fear of nuclear retaliation. But then Newsweek goes on to say that North Korea might display their ire at the United States government by attacking South Korea or possibly Japan. And they're in there with Newsweek is just saying North Korea launching war. But it's very obvious it is the U.S. that wants war with North Korea, or at least is building up to the threat of war against North Korea. North Korea wants to be left alone. And that is why they're building weapons of deterrence rather than weapons of invasion. But there's a new insight into this coming out from truthout.org. And this goes all the way back to Dick Cheney and the neocons. And basically it says that North Korea had actually reached agreements with both the Clinton and George W. Bush administrations that would have bypassed this whole buildup of weapons and missiles. But Dick Cheney and his friends destroyed those deals in order to sell the idea that the United States needs to build a new ballistic missile defense system. Star Wars 2. And all the contractors will make huge amounts of money. All right, we're going to take a break for station identification. We're going to be back here with Donald Jeffries after these few words.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.